Good morning officially to all of you. It's good to be here today. Thank you for letting me come and worship with you today and to be with you for a little while. It's a privilege truly to preach the gospel and to preach it for you today. Our text of scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Verses 25 to 35, Luke 2, 25 to 35, we're going to read about something that happened 40 days after Jesus was born. It's been almost 40 days since we celebrated Christmas, so we're kind of on schedule there on a timeline. Let us attend carefully to the scripture and may the Holy Spirit speak to us through the word. And behold, there is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Amen. God blesses those who bless others. For example, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God." Now, Simeon takes this principle one step further. God blessed Simeon greatly by allowing him to see the baby Jesus before he died. But then afterwards, Simeon turned around and gave his blessing to Mary and Joseph. May we all be a blessing to others. And may God bless you. And by way of encouragement, I just want to say that you have certainly blessed me and my family, and we thank God for you all. Now, who in the world was Simeon? Some call him a prophet, but Luke does not say this. Some think he was a priest, but there's no evidence of this either. Luke calls Anna a prophetess. He calls Zechariah a priest. But he simply calls Simeon a man. Simply a man. Nobody particularly special. No special title. Just a man. I think he was an older man. Because the thought of his death was on his mind in this text. He was thinking about the fact that he was going to see the Messiah before he died. And I think that the days were getting close. Well, I'd like us to ponder Simeon today and see what the Holy Spirit may teach us through this older saint. And as we look at verse 25 to 27 of our text, we find, first of all, that Simeon was a model of godliness. We read that Simeon was righteous, and we see that Simeon was devout. Scripture says, behold, he was a righteous man. That word, behold, is an exclamation point in Scripture. Behold, this is special about him, extraordinary about Simeon. He was a righteous man. He treated others as God would have him to do. He did not steal. He did not bear false witness. He loved his neighbor as himself. He was a righteous man, fulfilling the law of God. We also read in the same text that Simeon was devout. I was fascinated to learn that this word devout, this particular word, in its secular usage, means careful. Careful. Simeon was righteous and he was careful towards God. He was careful to be reverent. He was careful to pray with sincerity and genuineness, careful to honor God in his prayers, careful in his worship. I think about my own prayer life and sometimes how flippantly we go through saying grace with really not a thought towards God. It's just something we say before we get on to the meal. Am I the only one that's that way? Simeon was careful in his worship, righteous before God. Simeon also lived in dark times, but he trusted in the Lord. You know, in those days, Israel was ruled by a terrible tyrant, Caesar Augustus, who was perhaps the most powerful man, politically speaking, who ever lived even to this day. He was the ruler of the greatest empire that ever was at the peak of its power. Caesar made life miserable for Israel, so miserable that oftentimes brave and foolish Israelites would try to rebel against the great Roman power, and they would always fail. Simeon lived in dark days, but he trusted in God. And he trusted in God's word. Simeon understood many great things from God's word. He understood that a time of consolation and comfort was drawing near for Israel. That the Messiah was coming to bleed and to die to redeem his people from their sins. This scripture promised to give God's people a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And Simeon actually knew from the Holy Spirit, not from a book, but from the Holy Spirit, that the Messiah was coming soon. The Christ would be born before he died. The Holy Spirit still speaks today. He speaks through the Word. He speaks to our hearts. In fact, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Perhaps especially if we are careful in our worship, he speaks to us. To God be the glory. Well, Simeon was a model servant of Christ, righteous and devout, and God blessed him for it. Blessed be the name of our God. Now, we move on to verses 27 to 32, and we find that God blesses us so that we may bless others. And I want to use Simeon again as an example of this principle. You know, one day, the Holy Spirit moved Simeon to go up Mount Zion, go into the temple of the Lord. That wasn't a Bible verse. That was the Holy Spirit said, "Go." And he went. And when he arrived, who was there but Mary and Joseph and the Christ child in Mary's arms? Though Simeon was a complete stranger to them, he walked up boldly, took the baby in his own arms. It must have been a thrilling moment. "I'm holding the Christ. I am holding the Messiah, the Savior of the world, in my arms." Oh, the greatest moment in his life, without a doubt. And so he blessed God. He blessed God with, this would be my paraphrase, a very loose paraphrase of what he said, "Lord, how glorious you are. Now your servant can die in peace. I'm ready to go, Lord. I've seen the Messiah. I've witnessed your faithfulness. You have done just as you have said in the word. And Lord, oh, how wonderful this child shall be. He's going to be a light for all the Gentiles. Every nation now is going to see your salvation. And also this little baby, this tiny boy in my arms, is our glory. The glory of my people, Israel, the glory of your people." Israel. What a beautiful blessing Simeon offered to God that day. Oh, may we bless the Lord, our own selves, when we see the wonderful things that God has done for us. Well, now we're going to move to the final verses, verses 33 to 35 of our text. And we see that God blesses His people that we may bless those in need. In verses 33 and 34, after Simeon had finished blessing God, he turned and he blessed Mary and Joseph. He blessed Mary and Joseph personally. Now, the scripture doesn't say what he said. We don't need to know. But Mary and Joseph were blessed. And we're put on this earth to bless others. I preach in Columbia two Sundays out of every month. There is a ruling elder in that church who is loved by all, highly, highly respected. About a month ago, or a little bit more than a month ago, he was found to have a cancerous brain tumor. And quite frankly, the prognosis is grim. They're struggling to have a positive attitude and trusting in God. But you know, when there are two people, they love each other, they're married, and something bad happens to the one, the other can hurt inside even more than the one who's sick. And so this ruling elder's wife just having such a hard time. Her husband is dying. Terrible, terrible pain. And they live in a town that's pretty far away from me. Hour and a half to drive there. I said the least I can do is I'll drive up there sometime. But for the time being, I'll just call on the telephone and check on them every so often. You wouldn't think that a phone call is much. It's not. But to this couple, the man and his wife, those short phone calls and the short prayer mean everything to them. And it's not because I have any special wonderful prayers to offer. Your prayers would be just as good. We bless others in their time of need through a simple phone call and a simple prayer. And when I call, I don't pray long prayers. Short prayers. And they mean the world. And see, that's why we're on earth. God blesses us that we may bless others. Now, after Simeon had blessed Mary and Joseph, he turned to Mary. And he had a special word for Mary, which is recorded in the scripture. And he begins it with that word again, behold. Listen up. Listen carefully. Don't miss what I'm about to say, Mary. Behold. He has three basic words for Mary in verses 34 and 35. First of all, we read that this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. That's a perfectly fine translation. He's destined for the fall and rising of many. But it can also be translated this way. This child is destined to bring ruin and resurrection to many in Israel. And indeed, that is what the cross brings: ruin or resurrection. For Mary's day and Joseph's day, the religious and self-righteous hypocrites would come to ruin. But repentant sinners will rise to glory. What a wonderful thing. We also read, talking about the cross here, that the cross is a sign of death and resurrection. The cross is a sign that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so that now the cross is empty. But the cross is a sign that by faith and repentance, our old self dies. And because that cross is empty, we're going to rise too. For us, the cross is for the resurrection of all who trust in Christ, the good news and proclamation of the gospel. Well, now let's going to move to word two from Simeon to Mary. Mary's beautiful boy would have many enemies. Mary needed to know that bad times were at hand. These were deep words for young teenage girl Mary. But I'm quite certain she remembered them later in life. Particularly, she remembered his words at the cross, where in verse 35, an amazing line is written down. Yes, Mary, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. What do you mean? Also. Just as the sword or the spear passed through Jesus' side after he died, so a sword would pierce Mary in her heart. Actually, the word sword there indicates a rhamphia. There's a word for you. It sounds scary already. A rhamphia was not a short sword such as the Romans carried about. It was not a little fencing sword that you play around with. It was the great and feared fighting sword. Double-edged and heavy. It was the kind of sword that the barbarians of Thrace I particularly love to use to just slice a person in half. The rhomphia. This is what Simeon was telling Mary. A rhomphia is going to pass through your soul. Two. Like Jesus suffered. Do you think she did not remember that at the cross? Oh, the pain. And what made it worse, I think. You know, Mary wasn't always perfect any more than any of us are perfect. And I even read in the Gospels of an occasion where she went from Nazareth, where she lived with her grown-up sons. They went to Capernaum, where they tried to shut Jesus up, shut up his mouth and take him home because he was embarrassing them by what he was saying and by all the enemies he was making. And I wonder if Mary thought about that at the cross, at her own unfaithfulness to her own son. I wonder if she hurt inside and how much. But you know, the cross was for Mary too. The cross is for all of us. It would be okay for Mary. It's okay. She was forgiven. The shed blood of Christ was for her and for her sons who had behaved worse than she had, for all who would trust in Christ. No doubt Simeon was of great help to Mary that day. He was a blessing. God had blessed him. Now he was a blessing to her. And I want to ask you, who can we bless? Who do you know that's in need? That you can encourage and help? Who do you know? If God has blessed us, and he has, what can we do for others? Who might we bless? Who might we serve? And how? May God show us a way. And may God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross to provide us with the greatest blessing ever given, eternal life, eternal joy with him in heaven. We also thank you for the Holy Spirit you sent to live within our hearts, who moved within Simeon and who works in us. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.